The book of Acts, chapter 19. Now then, let's read from verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, who were these people? How were they described? Disciples. So that means that they are believers. They're disciples, believers. Okay. But he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." It was news to them. They hadn't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. It's interesting, isn't it? So, he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." In other words, his baptism was pointing people to Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. That's what happened to them. Now, there are many accounts in the New Testament, several accounts that we could go to, that speak of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of course. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something we learn from this text that follows belief. So it's something that happens after we've believed. It's plain to see in the text, isn't it? Now, you see, we do receive the Holy Spirit when we believe. We receive the Holy Spirit as a deposit when we believe. He resides in every believer. That's in the scripture as well. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit and people speaking in tongues and that sort of thing, that's what this is about. Let's turn to the book of Acts in the second chapter, shall we? Well, in fact, let's go to the first chapter of Acts. Acts 1, verse 8 first. Let's just read that. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." So Acts 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, those are the words of Jesus. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that power will cause you then to want to be witnesses, to have a boldness that previously you didn't have, to have an enthusiasm, commitment, you know, that abundant life testimony. So we see a picture being painted here. And let's read now from chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, verse 1, they were all together with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this is a description of the Christian life. It's a remarkable thing. Let's just read on, verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying, looking to one another, saying, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking, now watch this, others mocking said, they're full of new wine. Thought they were drunk. Well, now, how many different languages do we have here? This is interesting. Okay. I tell you what, let's do this. Please, if you speak a language other than English, would you kindly do me a favor by illustration and just come up to the front and stand here? Or just come up. Come on, please. Gajon, please, come forward. Mauricio, please, come up. Sunny, please, yes, that's right. Raj, yes, thank you, please. That's it, just come and line up. So let's just stand up, that's it. Now, it'd be nice to have this on video. So we're all lining up. Now, I'm up here as well because I speak Welsh.
Do you speak Canadian?
So this is nice, isn't it? Look how many we have. It's a good long line. Okay. Let's now then each speak something in your own language. Now, praise to God, something like that would be nice, you know, something, whatever. But you feel free, the words that you know, and just speak something. Let's all go together. Come on, let's just do that. Diolch yn fawr, Iesu. Yes, see, diolch yn fawr. Am I the only one? Come on. Not one, all together. This is...
All together.
Yes, yes. Diolch yn fawr, yes, see. Diolch yn fawr, hallelujah. Diolch yn fawr, yes, see. Diolch yn fawr, that's about all I know in Welsh. Diolch yn fawr, yes, see. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, keep going, everyone. Keep going. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raj, I can't hear you. Chielo vesto roviere. Yes, sir. Okay. Now, that was interesting, wasn't it? Wasn't that nice? Beautiful. Thank you all, everyone. But before you go, notice one thing. Does anyone think for one moment that we appeared to be drunk? No. So you can have people speaking all different languages at the same time, but the presumption you don't draw is that they're drunk. Now, this is what we've just been reading in the book of Acts. Let's go for more reflection. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate that. Yes. Good job. So what we see is you can have loads of people speaking at the same time, but it doesn't appear to be drunk. Now, what am I getting to with this? It's very important. What I'm saying here has impacted the world, and I'm coming to it, and I want us to really grasp this. I really do. This is very important this morning. I really mean that. Very important. Because clearly, from this scripture, there was something else going on for them to make the accusation that they were drunk. Now, if we read on, verse 14 of Acts 2, Peter then addresses the people, and he says this: Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. So he clearly gave credence to the accusation that they were drunk. And he goes to explain it. He says, these aren't drunk as you suppose. So what did it look like? What could it have looked like? Well, you know, later on in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, we also have a description, be not drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit. Once again, we have this drunk and filled thing. Well, let me tell you this. In the church, in the last couple of decades, there has been a move sometimes where people have been, there's been people looking as if they were drunk, people dancing, running on the spot like this, people happy in Jesus, people being very boisterous, people just being thrilled, people laughing, people being joyous, and to the outsider, it may have looked as if they were drunk. I believe that is precisely what we see here, precisely what we see here. Now, watch this. Why is this important? This is important because we are charged in the Holy Spirit, charged in the New Testament, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And many people, thinking that they were being very moderate and very cautious, have grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And they've put the clamp down on the move of the Holy Spirit. They've shut down the move of the Holy Spirit. And so what they've done is they've wanted to be in control. I find that religion wants to be in control. It wants to be in control, and it doesn't want God to be in control. So when things start to get a little bit wild, religion clamps down and doesn't want that. Wants things in order and wants things controlled. That's not what we see in the New Testament. We have a picture there of things that are very different and a little bit wild. It's just a picture that we have. That's the plain truth of the text. Now watch this. There is a scripture in the New Testament that gives very serious warning about grieving the Holy Spirit. Are you familiar with that scripture? Are you familiar with the scripture? Come with me to that scripture, please. Let's go now to Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. This is so important, brothers and sisters. This is more important than we might even realize this morning. This is very important. I'll prove it by an illustration coming shortly, but first we must look at this scripture. In Luke 12, it says this, "And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven." I don't know about you, but that gets my attention really quick. Does that get your attention? I mean, that ought to get everyone's attention. I'll read it again. "And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven." Well, what do you think blasphemes against the Holy Spirit means? Well, I'm going to read what Strong's Concordance says. It means this: a refusing to acknowledge that which is good and worthy of respect. Hence, to blaspheme reverses moral values. It's slander to speak lightly or profanely of sacred things, such as the operation of the Holy Spirit. So if someone happens to be stumbling around and it's as if they're drunk in the Holy Spirit and they're laughing and they're full of joy, and someone says, "That's not of God," they might be blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That might well be a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's a very serious thing. Don't ever do that. Instead, we must reverence God and the things of God. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon human beings, that is a move of tremendous power that sometimes manifests in ways that you and I don't necessarily understand. Let's not think too highly of ourselves, as if we are in a position to judge what's appropriate for the Holy Spirit or not. We're not in that position. He's in the position, and we must submit to his authority. Amen? Amen. It's very serious. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Strong's Concordance is very clear. Now listen, I want to prove something to you. I went to a church called Holy Trinity Brompton. And in Holy Trinity Brompton, I did my Alpha course. The course that we've heard of earlier, which is so, I'm so happy that that course has been done. And yesterday, I believe that they had the Holy Spirit weekend. Or day conference, as it was. But in Holy Trinity Brompton, there was a man who was a trained barrister. Now, he went to Eton, stiff upper lip, you know. Cambridge followed, law school, and then he became a barrister. Successful barrister. And that man was a member of Holy Trinity Brompton. And that man was at the Holy Trinity Brompton Church when John Wimber from America was visiting. And John Wimber and the people from America were having words of knowledge for people. They would pray before the service. They'd ask the Lord to give them words of knowledge for the people who were in the service. And the words of knowledge were coming. The words of knowledge were tremendous. They were so accurate. God was being worshipped. And it was just a wonderful time that people were having. And what happened was joy spilled over in the congregation. And that stiff upper-lipped barrister started to laugh. And he started to laugh and laugh and laugh in the service. And I've heard people criticize people laughing and saying it's wrong and all this. And I tell you what, they know nothing about the move of the Holy Spirit. He laughed and he laughed and he laughed and he laughed and he laughed so much he was disturbing the meeting, and they had to carry him out. And as they carried him out, I mean, everything was done in a nice way. There was no harshness, you know. It was just, better move him outside as the Lord continues to help him. And as they carried him out, John Wimber pointed to him. He said, that man's going to be used in evangelism. Well, you know who that man is. Nicky Gumbel, the man who wrote the Alpha Course. And the Alpha Course has been used around the world as a tool for evangelism. I know in South Africa it's a tremendous use. I know all over the world, Australia is tremendous use. England is tremendous use. It has been probably the number one tool for evangelism in the last couple of decades on planet Earth. But guess what? It started with a yielding to the Holy Spirit and laughter. And laughter. He must have been, if there was a non-Christian there, if there was a skeptic there, as there were skeptics there in Acts 2, and they're looking on, they'd say, oh, they must be drunk. It's wrong. They condemn that. But it's the skeptics who condemn it. It's for the people who are skeptical of the move of the Holy Spirit who condemn that. It's not for the church to condemn. It's for the church to say, praise God. God is moving on someone, and I don't understand everything that's going on. But maybe if I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit, maybe he'll tell me what's going on. And maybe I'll point to him and say he's going to be used in evangelism. Amen? So what does this tell us? This tells us, my friends, that we need to be skeptical of the skeptics. Because if people are skeptical of these things, and it's very easy to be skeptical, it's the easiest place in the world to be a skeptic. Much, so safe to be a skeptic. But it's not safe to be someone who stands out from the crowd, as Nicky Gumbel did that day and was carried out of the service. I'm so happy that he did. Because I've met people on the Alpha courses who've been transformed. I'm so happy that he yielded to the Holy Spirit. And he just let God. And sometimes that's different. Now what I'm saying for us as a church is this. I'm saying, look, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon people. And when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon people, that may happen. Please don't be skeptical. We're not trying to conjure anything up. We know that some people have taken things too far. We know there's excess. But right now, I'm more concerned of there not being enough rather than the excess. I'll be honest. The excess isn't a concern for me at this moment in time. I believe that the Lord wants us to open up to the Holy Spirit, to move of the Holy Spirit among us. I really believe that. I believe that's from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, that there'd be freedom. We have a church that's a beautiful church, you know. We have a loving church. We have a church that's got integrity. I believe that we're an integrous church. We operate, we do things with integrity. And there's a desire to really seek the Lord in things. Things are done in a straightforward way. We deal with our business as a church is very straightforward. We're very straightforward people. I believe that the next step is for us to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe in an area like that, let's say, specifically. I also believe that the skeptics and the things that we've heard and the offenses, People have been offended when they've been in services where that's happened. They walk out. There's been all sorts of things. For me, what that is people going against the Holy Spirit and the flesh kicking in. Their flesh doesn't understand the operation of the Holy Spirit. The flesh doesn't understand it. It's not going to understand. And I'm not trying to conjure anything up either. I don't want artificial laughter. I don't want that. I'm not interested in that in the slightest bit. But what I'm saying is, where there is a move of the Holy Spirit and a yielding to the Holy Spirit, there's joy. I've read, you know, accounts of John Wesley laughing and laughing and laughing. He repented to God, first of all, but then in the end, he just gave in because he thought to himself, well, there's nothing wrong in it. I'm not sinning against God. He didn't understand it. And he was a man of understanding, John Wesley, but he yielded to that laughing and that joy. There's something about that which does us good, you know. The work of the Holy Spirit always does us good. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, the book of Proverbs teaches. Amen. So I've been like that. I've been like that and in my life, and it's been such a joy for me. I look back, I remember the first meeting when that happened to me. And by the way, let me say this. If you've heard me say an illustration before, don't switch off to it. I was on the phone to someone this week, and the lady had told me the illustration just probably about a few days before at some point, and she told me the illustration again. The first time I heard the illustration, I was blessed. The second time I heard the illustration, I didn't interrupt and say, oh, you've told me this before. I just listened, and I was blessed with a different point of view, because the second time she told me the illustration, I was in fact looking at that type of illustration in the Bible and on my notes in my studies, and so it came from a new angle. There was a different perspective to it. And I was blessed in a different way than I was the first time. Are you with me? So when we hear an illustration, don't think, oh, I've heard this before. I'm hearing it again. Isn't this boring? Don't do that. Have an open mind. Say, Lord, what are you saying to me now, this time? Hallelujah. That's how we read the Bible, isn't it? Do we read the Bible and say, oh, I've read this book. I've read Mark before. I don't want to read Mark again. I've read that before. We don't do that, do we? We say, oh no, let me read it from Mark again. You don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, breakfast, Michael. What did I want breakfast? I had breakfast yesterday. I don't do that much. What you laughing for? You see? So it's the same, the spiritual food. And if there's an illustration, you know, it's okay. Take it in, take it from a different angle. Well, this one, you know, I walked into the church in London when I first heard tongues. I walked into the church, I heard tongues, I turned around and walked straight out. I thought, that's not right. Whatever that is, it's not right. Absolutely not. I was fuming. And I was meant to be going in and singing in there. I thought, what do I want to go in with the group that I was with? I said, you go in and set up. And I just stayed outside and had a coffee or something. And then I went in afterwards. But the point was that it was strange, very strange to me. I didn't understand it. But then I understood about tongues. So you see, you may not understand about tongues, for example. And you may think, well, what's that? You're just speaking gibberish or something. Well, in a way, what is tongues? Tongues is a language we don't understand. There's different types of tongues. There's tongues, as we've just read, that can be understood. And I've given illustrations not so long ago about times when people have understood other people in their own language, and it's been a great encouragement to them. The man who visited from Africa at the London Bible College I was at, so lonely away from home. He hears someone speaking in his own tongue in the next room. He goes in, there's a white man in there. He he's speaking in tongues. Glory to God. God spoke to him through that man in his own language. Beautiful. And you know, so that's that tongue. It's happening today. It happens today, all the time. It's encouraging people. There's other tongues then that need interpretation. There's tongues of praise. There's tongues where we edify ourselves. So if we're in the house and we're praying in tongues and we're just praying in tongues and we just speak to God in tongues, you say, well, why would I want to do that? There's many reasons. I could give you 10 this evening. If you come this evening, I'll give you 10 reasons why you should speak in tongues and it would be a great blessing. But let me give you one right now. You can't pray a selfish prayer in tongues. You don't know what you're praying. Chiendoro vassele piero vate, indoro vassele piero cosse levare. I don't know what I'm saying. What I do know is this. Somehow, if I pray in tongues for a period of time afterwards, I feel something spiritual has happened. And the Bible tells me that the one who prays in tongues, if you pray in tongues like that, you edify yourself. And what that means is you build yourself up in your most holy faith. That's what that is about. And it's circumnavigating the mind. There's a humility in that, you know. Because you circumnavigate the mind. It's not about the mind. It's about the spirit life. Yielding to the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. This is a vital part of our lives now. This is what it means to live the spirit-led life. And it's exciting. This life is exciting when we live like this. But it's very boring otherwise. It's very boring. If we're in control and if we try to limit God, then it's a boring life. But if we yield, allow God to have his way. So, I wonder this morning, you heard the scripture about being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the gift of speaking in tongues. Who would like to be baptized this morning? If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, would you like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning? The baptism of the Holy Spirit with the gift of speaking in tongues? Would you like that this morning? I see one hand up. Anyone else? I think what we're going to do is we're going to continue our studies into this in more detail this evening. But for now, I wonder, Pastor Beverly, would you gently play some music? I'm going to invite anyone who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to come to the front now as we close the service. Amen. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then this evening, we're going to continue our studies in more details. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just stand together, shall we?